Don't forget afterwards to take a look at the prizes downstairs if you haven't done that. And you remember, you get 50 points for every person that you bring that hasn't been here thus far or to the Sunday school or Bible hour for the last 3 months. And then remember also that if you have a question, how to find the places in the Bible, or a question on tonight's story, or a question how you can be sure you're on your way to heaven, you stay behind. I'll be glad to help you or one of the counselors here. No talking or whispering for our lesson for tonight. Now, if I was to speak on the book of Esther, you would find in that book how merciful and gracious the Lord was to the Jews when the Gentiles were in power. However, tonight, I'm not speaking on the book of Esther. I'm going to speak on the book of Jonah. And in the book of Jonah, you're going to find out how gracious and merciful the Lord is to the Gentiles when the Jews were his special people. And so our story is going to be from the book of Jonah. Now, the name Jonah means dove. And it's interesting to find the word dove in the Word of God. We read about it tonight in the sword drill in Matthew chapter 10 and verse 16, where it says that the Lord said these words, that we should be as wise as serpents, and as wise as serpents and harmless as doves. And then we read about the psalmist who talks about the dove in Psalms 55, 6, and 7, because he was very discouraged in life, and he said, "Oh, that I had wings like a dove, for then would I fly away and be at rest." But the next verse says, "Lo, then would I wander afar off and remain in the wilderness." Now, a dove is a very interesting bird. And symbolically, in the Word of God, we find out that the dove stands for three things. It stands for sorrow. Oh, oftentimes the dove is pictured at a funeral because of grief, for mourning. And then the second thing about the dove, it's a symbol for love. We find it on wedding cakes. And during that time. And then the third thing about the dove, it's a symbol for peace. And it's that particular symbol that I want to talk about tonight. And we sang that song, "When Peace Like a River." Yes. Oh, listen. And when peace comes. And so the first thing, what I want to do as I talk about the word peace, I want to talk about the letter P that stands for the person of peace. And Jesus Christ is that person. Yes, but now in Christ Jesus, ye who were sometimes far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us. Now you see, the Lord Jesus, he was that one that came down from heaven, down to this earth. He was born in a stable and laid in a manger, a feeding trough of all things. The Lord Jesus humbled himself. And the reason that the Lord Jesus came down to this world of sin is to die on the cross. Oh, I'm so thankful that the Lord Jesus died for me. And you know that after he died, they buried him, and he was in that tomb for 3 days and three nights, and then up from the grave he arose. And because he lives, you and I also can live, and we can have that peace that he alone wants to give. Well, It's not like the world gives. No, the peace that the Lord wants to give, oh, let me tell you, it's a great thing to have that peace of knowing where you're going to die after you pass this scene. Where are you going to die? Do you have peace about that? Now, the next letter in the word peace is the word, or the letter, I should say, not the word, the letter E. And the P stands for the person of Christ, but the E stands that the peace is for everyone. You see, we read also in verse 17 of Ephesians chapter 2, where I quoted from just for the P, it says there that he came, to give peace to all in verse 17. For he is our peace. Yes, he is the peace and came and preached peace to all. And so you see, the E stands for everyone. For here it doesn't make any difference where you live in the world. You can have that peace. Now we quoted another verse, or we read another verse, I should say, from Job chapter 22 and verse 21. And the verse says this, acquaint now thyself with him and be at peace. So the next one, it talks about get acquainted with the Lord. Oh, listen, my friends, tonight, you can get acquainted because the Lord will hear your prayer. It says this, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And you see, the A stands for acquaint. Oh, that you might become acquainted with God and know the privilege that you have of praying to him. So, we have the next letter coming up, which is the letter C. Now, the letter C, I would like to speak of two things. And first of all, I want to quote that verse from Psalms 37 and verse 5 where it says, commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. And if you can see in this picture, for you people that sit way there in the back, you won't see it. But for those up front here, you can see that there's a path going through this forest. Yes, there's a way. And God says, commit your way unto him. But not only are we to commit our ways, we are also to commit our works unto the Lord. Yeah. We have that verse in Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 3 where it says, commit thy work unto the Lord and thy thoughts shall be established. And so we have a man here that's building a wall. And that's his work and he's committing his works. Now I like that verse in Isaiah chapter 26, 3 and 4 that goes along with it where it says, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusteth in thee. Trust in the Lord, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. And so thou wilt keep him in peace, those who commit their ways and their work unto the Lord. So the last letter in the word peace is the word, the letter rather, of E again. And we find this, that this E stands for the fact that the peace is forever. And the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Yes, and the God of peace will be with you. So you see that the peace that the Lord wants to give is for all eternity. Now remember that peace, yes, is one of the symbols for the dove. And we find, yes, the Lord Jesus, what he did, he took all the sorrows upon him because he loves you. He loves me. Yes, all the love that the Lord had was for us. And as a result of his love that he bore all of our sorrows, what you and I can do is we can have peace. Oh, tonight, I trust that you know what it is to have that perfect peace. Now, over in the book of Isaiah, chapter 57, we also read these words where it says, "But the wicked are like the troubled sea, which cannot rest, whose waters cast up mire and dirt. There is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked." No, the wicked, they do not have that peace that God wants to give. But I like what it says in John chapter 14 and verse 27, where it says, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." What a great thing it is to have that peace that the Lord wants to give. And our hearts don't need to be troubled. Well, if you come to know Christ as Savior, you're going to find out that it doesn't mean that everything's going to just be rosy and there'll be no problems. Oh, no, there will be problems. But what it does mean is this, that when the storms come in life, you can have peace. What a great thing to be able to have peace during the troublesome times. That is something that the world knows nothing about. And so you see in this picture, I have a picture of a storm. And in this storm, once again, for you who are sitting up towards the front, you will see that I have a big rock. And in this rock, there in the cleft of the rock, there are two little birds. And even though the storm is all around them and the waves are high, dashing upon the rock, why, what those two little birds are doing there in the cleft of the rock, they're singing. They're at peace. Oh, listen, that's a great thing. I like what the psalmist says in Psalms 18 and verse 1 and 2, "I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God in whom I will trust." Yes, he is my strength. Oh, listen. And when you're clinging to the rock is Christ Jesus. For you see, in the rock there's stability. In the rock there's satisfaction. In the rock there's safety. Oh, there's everything in the rock, Christ Jesus. And oh, that we might know what it is to be trusting in the blood of Jesus Christ that was shed for our sins, so that when the storms come, we can have peace in our life. Tonight, if you're not sure you have that kind of peace, you stay behind. I'll be glad to help you, or one of the counselors here. Now, it's most interesting, as we read about Jonah, we find that Jonah was brought up in the tribe of Zebulun. Now, Zebulun, that tribe, is up in the northern part of Israel, not too far from the Mediterranean Sea, close right there on the banks of the Euphrates River. And it was there that he was brought up in a little town by the name of Gath-Hepher. And what it says about Zebulun in Deuteronomy chapter 13 and verse 18 is this, "Rejoice, O Zebulun, in thy going out. Now, it's most interesting to notice that just a little ways from that place called Gath-Hepher, probably about 3 or 4 miles away, was the little village or town of Nazareth. And I suppose that most of you know that's where the Lord Jesus was brought up, in that little town of Nazareth. Now, if you know the story of Jonah, you will know that Jonah did not rejoice in going out. No way. Jonah did not want to do what God asked him to do. But we find that what a contrast with the Lord Jesus. You see, there's many years, over 800 years about, of the timing that both of them were on this earth. But when the Lord Jesus came, listen, he left heaven. Yes, he came out of the ivory palaces down into this earth. Why, it says over in the book of Hebrews, it says in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 2, it says that he came because it was a joy. Yes, the Lord Jesus came realizing what he was going to do, but he came down with joy. Listen, to think of it, that who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. Yes, the Lord Jesus, he came down rejoicing because he was going to die for you and for me. We're going to find out that Jonah wasn't rejoicing, and he did not want to go where God asked him to go. Now, his problem was the problem that many people have, and the problem was is that self was sitting on the throne of his life. Do you know that there's many of us? We don't want to do what the Lord asks us to do. We have our own ideas of how we want to live. And that was Jonah. For the word of the Lord came to Jonah and said, Jonah, arise and go to Nineveh, that great city, and preach against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. No way did he want to go. As far as Jonah was concerned, those people that were Assyrians living in that city called Nineveh, they could die and go to hell. He didn't care. He didn't want them to hear the word of God. You see, because Jonah, he was thinking of self. He was thinking of what those Assyrians had done to his people. And he was sitting on the throne of his life. My friends, if you're the one that's sitting on the throne of your life, then what you do is you put Christ right on the cross and you leave him there. There's many people who come to realize that Jesus died for them, but what they do is they leave Christ on the cross, not on the throne of their life. They're not saying, here's my life, Lord, I'll do what you want me to do. Oh, no! What they're doing is they're running their own life. Tonight, I pray again, as the seed goes forth, the word of God, that it will fall on good ground. And that you will let Christ sit on the throne of your life and put self on the cross. Why, we have that verse in Corinthians where it says, for the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him that died for them and rose again. Oh, that you might make Christ on the throne in your life. And that you might know what it means to die with Christ. Even like our memory verse is saying as you read it. Oh, that we might know what it is to be dead to self. And say, okay, Lord, whatever you want me to do, I will do. Remember my first lesson, how I tried to stress that you are either a missionary or you are a mission field. And you need to answer that question. What are you? Are you the missionary for the Lord, doing what God wants you to do? Or are you still a mission field? And so we find that the word of the Lord came to Jonah. Now it says that Jonah, that he had a father whose name was Amittai. It's an interesting name. The word means truth. Once again, we notice that he was the son of truth. But you remember what Jesus said, don't you? Jesus said these words, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Yes, the Lord Jesus, he was saying, I am the truth. And so we find that the word of the Lord came to Jonah and said to Jonah, arise and go to that great city, Nineveh, and preach against it, because their wickedness has come up before me. In the book of Jonah, you will find that it refers to Nineveh three times as great. One time it refers to Nineveh as exceedingly great. It was a great city. It was a great city in numbers. It was a great city as far as how much land they had control of. But it was a great city of wickedness. Sort of reminds me of the United States. How great we are in numbers, in the greatness of the land that we've got, and how great our wickedness is. But notice here that the wickedness came up before the Lord. Yes. And you see, if you know anything about those empires that I talked about the other night, and there's only four of them thus far, the falling of the empires have been all the same. Because you see, what happened in each case is that it got higher and higher with the divorce rate. It got higher and higher with taxes. It got higher and higher with the monuments and statues that they built. Yes, and it got higher and higher with pleasure. Oh, pleasure was one of the big things. More and more people were taken up with all the pleasure. And so we find that the last thing of the five major causes for the fall of all the empires is that lower and lower got the attitude towards the things of God. God was left out of the picture. Oh, how sad. That's where the United States is today. We've got all of the characteristics of those five major things that caused the fall of that country. Yes, or of that nation that was in control. And so you see, we find that the word of the Lord came to Jonah and said to arise and go to Nineveh, that great city, and preach against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. Genesis tells us this in chapter 6 and verse 3, my spirit will not always strive with man. Oh, the grace of God is going forth again today. You still have a chance to come to know Christ as Savior. But there's coming a day that the judgment is going to fall. And so Jonah was told to go and warn them. But Jonah, he felt they deserved to die. As I told you, he felt they should die and go to hell because they were cruel to the Israelites. And so what Jonah did is he got up and he went the opposite way. He decided he was going to go to Tarshish and flee from the presence of the Lord. Now that is absolutely ridiculous. That you could possibly think that you could flee from the presence of the Lord. Why, the Word of God makes it very clear that the ways of man are before the eyes of the Lord, and he pondereth all his goings. Yes, the Word of God says that the eyes of the Lord go to and fro throughout the whole world. Yes. He sees everything you do, my friends. There's that verse that we have in Jeremiah chapter 23 and 23 that begins by saying, "Am I a God at hand, saith the Lord, and not a God far off? Can any hide himself in secret places from me, saith the Lord? Do not I fill the whole heaven and the earth, saith the Lord?" Oh, the Lord is everywhere. You can't hide from the Lord. You may think you can. Oh, but there is nowhere that you can go and hide from the Lord, because his eyes are everywhere. He sees everything you do. He sees everything that I do. Yes, the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth. And so we find that Jonah decided that he was going to flee from the presence of the Lord. There's that verse also in Psalms 139, I think it is. It says, "Whither shall I go from thy spirit? And whither shall I flee from thy presence?" Where can I go? And so it says that Jonah, he went down to Joppa because he was going to go on his way to Tarshish. The very first step that we see that Jonah took was down. Yes, the first step is he's going down. Now I want to tell you, my friends, when you know God in a personal way like Jonah did, and you decide to do what you want to do and self lives on the throne, you're going to go down. It's going to be a downward path. And there we find that Jonah, he went down to Joppa, which was a seaport. And when he got down to Joppa, lo and behold, he found that there was a ship that was going to Tarshish. Just what he wanted. He wanted to go to Tarshish. Everything was working out just like he wanted it. Oh, but my friends, we don't go by circumstances. We know that we need to go by the Word of God. And God made it very clear to Jonah that he was to go to Nineveh. But Jonah didn't want to go to Nineveh. And so he got down to Joppa, and he found this ship that was going to Tarshish. Seemed like everything was working out for the best. In fact, actually, when he got down there, it was just great. The days were so wonderful because everything was working out well, because it was a great day for sailing. The weather was good. The ship was going to the place that he wanted. It was all working out for his good. So he thought. And so the next thing that we read about Jonah is that Jonah, he went right up and he paid the fare to go on this ship. Let me tell you, my friends, if you decide to do things your way, you're going to pay for it. You will pay the fare and then some. Yes, Jonah paid the fare. And the next line says that he went down into the ship. It's the second time we read about Jonah going down. He was going on a downward path. In fact, as you read the story, you'll find in chapter 1 that he's going down again in the third thing, down into the bowels of the ship. Listen, when you run from God, you're going down, down, and down. He paid the fare, and he got into the ship. And he went down into the ship. We read that he went down into the bowels, or down into the bottom of that ship. Well, everything was going fine. Everything was going great, just the way Jonah wanted it. But when they got out into the middle of the sea, why, God decided to open up his treasure chest. I don't know whether you know that he's got it, but in Psalms 135 and verse 7, it says that he bringeth the wind out of his treasury. And so it was. The Lord opened up his treasure chest, and he caused the wind to come. Oh, what a storm began to blow. Psalms 148 and verse 8 says this too. Fire and hail, yes, snow and vapor, stormy wind, fulfilling his word. Yes, God allowed this storm to come. And oh, how the storm blew. And as it blew, they were in danger. It got to be a very rough sea. And it was difficult for the sailors. Oh, listen, those sailors were afraid. They tried to bring the ship under control. Now, there's a verse in Romans chapter 14 that I want to quote to you, which says this. Now, no man liveth unto himself, and no man dieth unto himself. For whether we live unto the Lord, or whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live or die, we are the Lord's. For this reason, Christ both died and rose and revived, that he might be Lord both of the dead and of the living. You may not realize this, my friends, but when you do wrong, you don't only cause troubles for yourself. You cause troubles for all those that you come in contact with. Oh, what a problem you cause. For your family members, for those that you work with, whatever you do in life, you're not living for self. And what happens is you cause big time troubles for those you come in contact with. Here were these sailors. They were struggling to get the ship under control. And then what they began to do is they began to cry out to their gods. They had gods that were made of wood and stone. They had eyes, but they couldn't see, ears, but they couldn't hear, and a mouth, and they couldn't speak. And these sailors cried out to their gods. And of course there was no response. But you see, you might say, why didn't they cry out to God? For it says in the book of Joel, in the book of Acts, and in the book of Romans, that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Yes. Why didn't they do that? Well, you know what it says in the next verse in Romans chapter 10? It says, how shall they call on whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe on whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? Well, you know where the preacher was? He was down in the bottom of the ship, sleeping. Oh, the time has come, my friends, that we need to wake up out of our sleep. Let's not be too hard on Jonah. What are you doing? People are dying all over. Are you giving out the word? Are you the missionary you should be? Or are you a mission field? It's now high time to wake up out of our sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. And so these men, because their gods didn't listen to them, because they couldn't hear, they couldn't see, they were just wood and stone. The next thing that they did is the do-it-yourself method. Since their gods didn't hear, they decided to take their cargo and they threw it overboard. Now you know why they did that. Because if you lighten up the ship, why, the ship will be able to ride on the waves better. So they threw their things overboard, all because of one man's sin. And so the man who was the shipmaster of the ship, he decided to go down into the bowels of the ship to see what else he should throw over. And when he got down there, he found Jonah fast asleep. How could he sleep? Oh, Satan had duped him. And the shipmaster came to him and shook him up and he said, wake up, you sleeper. The least you could do is get up and pray to your God and perhaps we may not perish. But how could Jonah pray? You know the verse that we read tonight in Psalm 66 and verse 18? If I regard iniquity in my heart, that means if I have sin that I've done and I haven't confessed it and got right with God, God's not going to hear me. Listen, we need to keep short accounts with God. You're not going to live a perfect life if you get saved. But if you get saved, you need to confess your sins so you can go on for God. Jonah couldn't pray, and he knew that. He didn't want to confess his sin either. He was stubborn. So we find that he came up on deck, and the sailors there, they were worried that they were going to die. And then one of those sailors spoke up and said, what we need to do is cast lots to find out who is the guilty person on this ship. Now, casting dots is like rolling the dice in a way. And so when they cast the lots, lo and behold, it fell upon Jonah. Oh, Numbers 32 and verse 23 says, be sure your sins will find you out. So when it fell upon Jonah, because the Bible says, when the lot is cast into the lap, the whole disposing will be of God. And those men turned to Jonah and said, what is your occupation? Where do you come from? From what country? Who are your people? Yes. Jonah didn't answer those questions, only the last one that they gave. And he said, I am a Hebrew, and I fear the living God, the God that created the heaven, the dry land, and the sea. And when they heard that he spoke about the God who created the sea, they were exceedingly afraid. They were afraid of the storm. But now they're talking about the God who caused it. They said unto Jonah, what should we do to you? And Jonah said, because of my sin, because I have fled from God. There's only one thing you can do, is you can pick me up and throw me overboard. Do you know something, fellows and girls and men and women? Jonah wasn't afraid to die. Oh, he knew where he was going. He wasn't willing to share the good news with anybody else. But he wasn't afraid to die. But the sailors, they didn't want to throw Jonah overboard. Jonah wasn't concerned about the people that were dying and going to hell. But the sailors, they were concerned about Jonah. They didn't want Jonah to die. And so what the sailors tried to do is they struggled to get that ship, to get to shore. But although they worked hard, they couldn't do it. Then finally they prayed to God. Not to their gods, but to Jonah's God. For Jonah had told them about God. And they cried out to the Lord and they said, "Oh Lord, don't lay the sin of this man to our charge. Don't charge us with his sin. And help it that we don't perish because of this man." Then they picked up Jonah and they threw him in. And the moment they threw him in and Jonah hit those waters, a miracle took place. That water began to calm. It was calm right away. Those men, when they saw this, once again these men cried out to Jonah's God. And the Bible says they made a sacrifice to that God. They realized that a sacrifice needed to be made for them to be able to have eternal life. You see, because they're looking forward to the cross. We look back to the cross. These men made a sacrifice to the Lord God. And then the next thing we read is that they made vows. You know what that means? They made promises. They made promises to God. Oh, they trusted in Jonah's God. They never saw a miracle like this before. Because I want to tell you something. After a storm is over with, the waters don't go calm right away. No. It can last for hours or days. But here was the God that created the waters that caused that calm. Tomorrow night, Lord willing, we're going to find out the rest of the story as Jonah went down into the water. Every eye closed. And head down.